Alan Harper opens the front door. He picks up the newspaper and reads the front page.
Mudslide kills 600 religious pilgrims.
He waves his hand in the air grandly and shuts the door. A tall brunette descends the stairs.
Morning.
Morning.
Uh-oh. Not again.
She pulls a revolver from her purse.
Thank God. Always in the last place you look, huh?
Uh-huh.
She exits and Alan locks the door behind her.
You too.
Yeah, Phyllis, Charlie, put me down for a grand on Detroit tonight. What's the line now? Well, excuse me, but don't you think if the gambler is awake, it behooves the bookie to be up as well? All right, well, call me when you get off the can.
Are you aware that your sleepover buddy was packing heat?
Oh, yeah. Any hotter and she'd have burned my pubes clean off.
Charlie, a gun in the house?
Relax, she's a cop. Or was a cop. Or is wanted by the cops. I know she mentioned cops.
Unbelievable. So this was another one-night stand?
Unless she comes back for her handcuffs, yeah.
Boy, how much satisfaction can you get from that?
Handcuffs? Not really my thing. But hey, she probably did some stuff last night that might not have been her first choice.
No, I mean, how can you possibly get any satisfaction from an endless series of alcohol-soaked one-night stands?
Charlie slaps his forehead.
I realize it's a stupid question, so forget I said it.
She's married to a cop.
I hate to see you wasting your life having drunken sex with women you don't care about.
Who asked you to move back in and watch?
You know who's good for you?
Don't go there, Alan.
Mia. She was beautiful, she was smart, she got you to clean up your act. I'm telling you, Charlie, letting her go was the stupidest thing you've ever done.
You're going there, Alan.
I'm just saying you had this fantastic woman who was willing to marry you, and you just threw it away. And for what?
Okay. You're there. You want to know why I gave up Mia? I'll tell you why I gave up Mia. I gave her up for you.
Oh, for me?
Yeah, for you. She wanted you to move out so we'd have the house to ourselves, but I said, no way. I am not throwing my brother out on the street.
Wow. What a loving gesture.
Oh, bite me. And you know what you did? You married Candy and moved out anyway. So if you want to know why I let the best thing that ever happened to me get away, it's so the worst thing that could ever happen to me would have a place to live.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, I guess it all worked out for the best, huh?
How do you figure?
Well, think about it. If Mia had been living here when Candy kicked me out and I came...
Charlie nods, then slowly puts his mug of coffee on the table. He calmly turns to his brother and tackles him. Charlie throws Alan to the floor, jumping on him repeatedly. Back in real life.
Charlie?
Huh? Oh.
2 and a half men.
Awkward. Phil, you're my bookie, not my psychiatrist. If I want to bet every single game in the country with money I don't have, that's my business. Thank you. Now, let's talk boxing. Really? There's no fights anywhere tonight? Okay, well, how are you and your wife getting along? Well, it'd be a fair fight. She's got like 50 pounds on you.
Alan sets a tray on the coffee table.
Hello. My luck. I gotta have a bookie who's afraid to fight out of his weight class.
Aren't you a little worried that all this betting might be turning into a problem?
Alan, if you don't bet big, you can't cover your losses. And if you can't cover your losses, a large man with a tire iron puts your address into MapQuest, at which point you have to sneak across the Mexican border dressed in women's clothing.
Alan shakes his head.
Now that's when you have a problem.
Well, you know best. You hungry? I made your favorite sandwich. Turkey, ham, and pastrami. Gobble.
Moo.
No, thanks.
Okay, how about something sweet? Key lime pie. Yummy, yummy.
Look, Alan, I appreciate your sucking up, but you can't fill the gaping wound in my heart with deli meat.
And pie. Yummy.
Can't we just leave it alone? Can we not grind on and on about the stupidest thing I've ever done?
Okay, I'm sorry I said that. Giving up Mia was not the stupidest thing you've ever done. It certainly wasn't as stupid as when you came back from Rio with that gorgeous model, you know, the one with the Adam's apple and the really big hands.
Handsome Charlie glares at his brother.
You know, I'm gonna give you some space. Maybe go for a nice drive.
Alan exits, and with a sigh, Charlie goes back to the newspaper.
Forgot my keys. You know what? They must have slipped out of my pocket and into the couch. Excuse me, sorry.
Alan reaches under the cushion that Charlie is sitting on, then reaches across him.
Sorry.
Alan straddles Charlie, pressing him against the sofa.
Found some change. Look. Is that a quarter in your ear?
Charlie rips off Alan's arm and beats him with it, back in real life.
Ta-da!
Alan holds out a coin and Charlie glares at him.
Very impressive.
The beach houses light up the nighttime darkness. Charlie's on the balcony. Alan steps out and looks in the direction of the wailing.
What is that?
Steven Tyler rented the house next door.
The guy from Aerosmith? I lost my virginity to him. You know, his music.
Thanks, I was confused. He's apparently getting ready for a tour. So what's... in the box?
Went out and picked you up a little something I thought might put a smile on your face.
Alan, the only thing in this box that could possibly put a smile on my face is your severed head.
Good one. Zing. Come on, open it.
Charlie opens the box and removes a bright blue trilby.
A hat?
A very expensive hat.
Since when do I wear hats?
Well, you don't, but I saw it and it seemed so... You know, cool, rakish, yet forgiving.
Okay, fine, I forgive you.
Oh, thanks. Aren't you gonna try it on?
No.
If you really forgave me, you'd try it on. Oh yeah, that is you. Let's try tilting it a little bit here. Oh baby, you gotta see this. Come on inside, we'll take a look.
He doesn't move.
Charlie, you coming?
Charlie glances inside the hat box and smiles to himself.
What's going on?
You should leave, Alan.
Why?
Just trust me.
All right.
Alan goes inside. Charlie takes off the trilby and puts it back in the box. He replaces the lid and tosses the whole lot off the balcony.
Take a pause for the cause.
Sorry, man. Thank you and good night!
Brown-haired Judith climbs up the balcony railing, wearing the trilby.
Hi, Charlie.
Rose.
How cool is it that Steven Tyler moved in next door? I lost my virginity to him.
You mean his music?
No.
Nice hat.
Thanks. Boy, you look like hell.
That's strange, because I feel like crap.
How long do you think you can keep it up?
What exactly are we talking about?
The excessive drinking, the obsessive partying, the compulsive gambling.
Oh, hard to say. Try and take it one day at a time.
You do realize this is all just an attempt to avoid feeling your feelings.
Let me tell you something about feelings. Feelings are like your mother's breasts. You know where they are, but they're best left unfelt.
It's an interesting analogy, but may I point out that a mother's breasts are a source of nourishment and comfort.
Yeah, well, my mother's breasts were a source of silicone and Russian vodka. Not good for child rearing, but she was a big hit at parties.
Charlie, I know how much it hurt you to give up Mia. And I know you don't like that feeling, but the more you try to get rid of it, the more it's going to come back.
She puts the hat on him.
Oh, yeah. Perfect fit. It's like somebody measured your head while you were asleep, so when your brother called, she could tell him the size.
He looks at Judith, and she adjusts his hat.
Hey, Uncle Charlie, guess where I'm finally growing hair?
Come on, man, I'm eating.
Right here. I'm growing a stash.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Hey, cool hat. Whose is it?
Giving Jake the hat.
Yours.
Really?
Yeah. It looks great with the stash.
You know, it just occurred to me that I have been feeling guilty because you called off your wedding to Mia so that I wouldn't have to move out. But then, when I did move out, you didn't call her.
Yeah, so?
So, you know why I think you didn't call her? You didn't call her because the whole I don't want to throw my brother out on the street business was a very convenient and noble excuse to get out of the marriage.
That's what you think, huh?
Yes, that's what I think.
That's what you think?
You heard me, that's what I think.
Yeah, well, think again.
Admit it, Charlie, I've been beating myself up buying you pie and hats for nothing.
There's pie?
Chubby Jake looks at Alan, who shakes his head.
There was. Berta ate it. And why is he wearing your hat?
I gave it to him.
I bought this hat for you.
And I gave it to Jake.
You can't commit to anything, can you?
It's just a hat.
It's not just a hat. It's a symbol.
Of what?
Okay, it's just a hat. But the point is, you have nobody to blame for your miserable, lonely existence but yourself. And you can drink, gamble, and hump all you want, but one day, you're gonna have to face that fact.
Drink, gamble, and hump!
Jake raises the hat. Alan looks shocked.
Yeah, well, I don't have to face anything I don't want to face. And I don't have to feel anything I don't want to feel. And that includes Mom's vodka knockers.
Who is this vodka knockers that you speak of?
Eat your dinner.
The name's Knockers. Vodka knockers.
Jake angles the hat over one eye. Alan grabs it and tosses it at Charlie. Wearing pajamas, Alan opens the front door. Charlie, wearing the trilby, is slumped against the wall.
Charlie?
Shh.
Okay?
Just dandy. Would you close the blinds?
Come on, let's get you inside. Looks like you had a tough night.
No, the night was great. It's the morning that's killing me. Hey, Alan.
What?
You were right. I can't keep running away from my feelings.
I'm glad you realize that.
You're a wonderful brother. And this is a beautiful hat.
Thank you.
He picks up the paper and looks towards Charlie.
Charlie, you okay?
I'm fine. The hat's not so good.
In the kitchen, Berta dries the dishes. Jake sits at the table examining his armpit.
Hey, Berta, want to see my armpit hair?
Only if you want to see mine.
Jake puts his arm down. Charlie enters.
Hey.
Hey. You know that's my juice.
I know.
You could at least ask.
You could at least pay rent.
Touché.
If that's a bookie or a woman, you know what to say.
Harper residence. Sorry, he's dead. Interesting. No one ever calls back to find out where to send flowers.
Touché.
How does it feel to go a whole week without booze, broads, or bedding?
It's actually kind of a relief. I never realized how much effort it took to avoid feeling anything.
Yeah? Well, what are you feeling now?
So far, mostly nausea and boredom.
Touché.
You don't know what that means, do you?
Not a clue. Hey, if girls with big boobs work at Hooters, where do girls with only one leg work at?
Berta and Charlie share a look.
IHOP.
Jake hops his index finger along the table. Charlie raises his eyebrows.
That's just cruel.
Actually, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, because they got one leg. They have to hop.
I hop. Tipping your waitress takes on a whole new meaning.
Oh. It's not that funny.
I know.
Why are you laughing so much?
I don't know.
Dad, something's wrong with Uncle Charlie.
What's going on?
Hey, Jake. Tell your dad how one-legged girls work at IHOP.
Charlie stops smiling.
Oh, no. I gave away the joke. I'm so sorry, Jake. I've ruined everything.
Is he okay?
He's fine. His feelings are coming to the surface.
Oh, like when Mom gets PMS.
Well, kinda.
Hang on, Uncle Charlie. I'll get you some chocolate.
Overweight Berta and Alan peer through the balcony door windows at Charlie.
What's he making out there?
A lanyard. He's got a lot of free time now, so I gave him one of Jake's old hobby kits. You know, so he'd have something to do.
I'm surprised he's not making a vagina out of macaroni and bottle caps.
Around, around the block, and then downtown.
He glares in the direction of the music.
Over, over, loop, around, around the block. And, yo, dude, some of us are trying to do crafts here.
What?
Can you lay off the harmonica playing?
Hey, a lot of people pay to see me play harmonica.
They pay to hear you sing. They tolerate the harmonica.
Sorry I don't measure up to your musical standards, you lame-ass jingle writer.
All right, let's see how you play harmonica out your other end.
No, let's slow down here. Come on.
Let's see what you got, jingle balls.
Okay, I'm gonna rip off your big fat lips and use them to kiss my ass.
Charlie, please, please. No, your emotions are a little bit frayed right now.
Right? Right, okay. Okay. I'm better. That's it.
No, Charlie, wait. Charlie, don't do this.
Come on, Tyler. You want a piece of me?
In the car, Charlie wears a neck brace.
Well, the dude may look like a lady, but you fight like a little girl.
Did it ever occur to you to help me out?
Yeah, but once you were cowering under his picnic table, I figured the worst was over. No, quit thinking, squirting that bottle of sunblock at him.
I was hoping it would get in his eyes and blind him.
Yeah, well, all you did was keep him from getting a nasty burn while he beat the crap out of you.
Please, Alan, I'm begging you.
Okay. It's not right to kick a man when he's down.
Thanks.
Too bad Steven Tyler didn't feel that way, huh?
You were right about Mia. I got cold feet, so I used you as an excuse to call off the wedding.
I am so proud of you, Charlie. This is a real breakthrough. Doesn't it feel liberating to finally hear yourself admit the truth?
Well, I feel something. But since I'm also hearing a high-pitched whistle, it might just be a concussion.
Charlie sits on the sofa, doing needlepoint.
No kidding.
I find it very calming, and the message helps center me.
God bless Vicodin?
Pretty good, huh?
You spelled Vicodin wrong.
That's the great thing about Vicodin. I don't care.
Hey, is Charlie here?
Alan opens the door to Steven Tyler, who's wearing the trilby and holding a white Shih Tzu dog in his arms.
Who may I say is calling?
It's okay, Alan.
Hey, Chaz. Thanks for the gift.
You're welcome.
So no hard feelings?
Nah. You?
Why would I have hard feelings? I'm still picking pieces of your ass out of my boot.
Good one. Okay, well, good luck with the tour.
Thanks a lot, man.
Who's the sponsor? Madame Musil?
What was that?
Nothing.
I just want to say, I'm a huge fan. I lost my virginity to you.
Really? Well, you know, there's a lot of the 70s I don't remember.
Stephen touches Alan gently on the shoulder before leaving. Alan looks confused and shuts the door behind him.
Isn't that the hat I got you?
Yeah.
The hat you threw up in?
I had it cleaned, but I'll always know.
ITFC Audio Description.